National Radio Club.
This portion of Market Scope is brought to you by radio. Without your radio, you couldn't make an air check.
Heidi Xers, welcome to Market Scope, and a brand new year. May it be one of the best years of your life. We're back in the Market Scope library, pulling out old tapes and putting bits and pieces of air checks onto this column for your listening enjoyment. Here are a bunch of air check bits, mostly local and deXable, from the Midwest.
Morning, Chicago, 710 on the wind, WIND. You in Stockton until 10 o'clock this morning, 591-5656 is the way we can get together. Fast check of the weather, and we'll go back to work on the phones. This is Saturday, October 19, 85. Welcome aboard. Kind of a blah day on the outside. Cloudy, foggy, spotty light rain or rizzle. A drizzle. Chance for some showers again this afternoon. High around 63. Cooler along the lakefront. Northeast winds 10 to 15. Tonight, chance for evening showers, and then mostly cloudy and cooler, low about 47, 48 degrees, and northeast winds will continue at about 10. 54 now at Midway, 52 along the shoreline downtown, 50 at O'Hare International officially, northwest wind at 9, and humidity reading of 96%. 7-11, ooh, the magic number, 7-11 on the wind, WIND in Chicago at 591-5656.
Music from Johnny Rivers, Roseanne Cash, and Eddie Rabbit, just to mention a few right here on 67 WMAQ Chicago. It's 9 o'clock. NBC News, good morning. I'm Don Blair.
It's 9:04 and 53 degrees in Chicago. Good morning. I'm Marianne Myers, WMAQ News. A rainy weekend. Chance for light rain today, high 58. Chance for rain again tomorrow, high 63. That's the news. I'm Marianne Myers.
67 WMAQ
Rabbits on WMAQ. Bob Tracy, the Polish Cowboy at 919. Satellite forecast is coming up, and so is a request for Sheena Easton. You know, Dominic's Meat Department thanks you for 60 years of support with an all-out, all-store steak sale. That's right. Choose your favorite Dominic's USDA graded choice steak this week at anniversary prices. Save on sirloin steak. Thick, juicy sirloin steak is only $1.79 a pound. Lean and tender round steak is only $1.29 a pound. And those favorite T-bones, just $2.98 a pound. Or why not enjoy a delicious government-inspected shank portion ham roast, just 89 cents a pound. Save through Wednesday during Dominic's 60th anniversary celebration.
Tomorrow morning at 11 on WPWR-TV Channel 60. The young boy does not like his piano teacher.
Dr. Terwilliger's the only enemy I've got.
World-class championship wrestling. All on WPWR-TV Channel 60. Chicago's power station.
Our WMAQ satellite forecast. Cloudy and cool today with a chance for light rain or drizzle. That'll continue. A high to be near 60. Later on this evening, cloudy skies, chance for rain. Low to be near 50. And for tomorrow, Sunday, it'll be cloudy with a 60% chance for rain and a high of 63. 53 this hour at O'Hare. Midway reports 54. And along the lakeshore, 54 degrees with Sheena Easton on WMAQ.
Y'all don't mess with Bill, you know. He carries a big club. 9:55, I'm Jerry Toth, WRED.
Don't mess with Bill.
10 o'clock at Red Hot 95.7 WRED, Gibsonburg, Toledo's oldies channel. Set your push-button radio now.
Red Hot WRED. It's 10:08, 8 minutes after 10, 10:08. Runaway Child, Running Wild. Temptations, updated weather coming up next. WRED, it's 10:12, 12 after 10. Jerry Toth, thanking you for making us Toledo's oldies station.
When your day starts dark as night.
WRED.
Computer weather.
Not much change in the forecast. Tonight, clear, turning cloudy by morning, a low 15. Tuesday, mostly cloudy with scattered flurries now and a high of 30. Tuesday night, 70% chance of more snow and a low 15. On Wednesday, oh, it's going to be colder, folks. Winds are currently from the southwest at 9 miles per hour. And right now, we got 25 degrees downtown at Toledo's Oldies Channel. Red Hot WRED.
On a day like today.
Group's called the Edsels, and believe it or not, they're from Ohio. Drat. Randy and the Rainbows. This is Denise 1020 at WRED.
Morning. This is radio station WHND Monroe, Michigan, on the air for transmitter tests. WHND Monroe, transmitting on 560 kilohertz with 500 watts of power, non-directional. This is WHND Monroe, Michigan, on the air for transmitter tests. Good morning to members of the National Radio Club and the International Radio Club of America.
Me less than $20 in trading stamp. And trading stamp? You know, I got a deal on the side for the record I'm pushing. Well, we won't talk about that on here. That's the wrong time. 8 minutes before 9 on WRC Radio.
WXYZ presents the good sound of Personality Plus with Joey Reynolds.
Personality Plus.
Pioneers called Pale Face.
How would you look surrounded by 1,000 Indians? Hello.
Which is correct, Hawaii or Hawaii?
Hawaii.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We all live in the
got some visitors in the studio tonight. They don't like any people in particular, they said. I said, what are you doing here? They're not fans. I said, then you got to be fiends. They said, we're not fiends. I said, well, who do you like in the air? They said, we like them all. I said, it's a wonderful attitude. 14,000 miles to rush and make a left. What do you mean we like them all? You got to have a favorite. Don't you like me? Am I not your favorite? I don't care if I am. Yes, I do. And they said, no, you're not our favorite, but we like you. I said, that's nice. Do you like Mark Avery? He said, yeah. I said, do you like Dave Prince? Yeah. I said, do you like Lee Allen? Yeah. I said, he's not even on the air. We still like him. I said, what do you like in the air? Everybody on the air. These people ought to work for the FCC. It's 17 minutes before, because it's a since they don't like everybody on the air. It's 17 before 8 o'clock on WXYZ. I don't know why they don't like everybody on the air at the FCC. I guess they got their own favorites, you know. I'm just sorry. I can't sound like Lady Bird. Gayhaven. This is number 3 certified. The Detroit Sound Survey, fast action. Many, many requests for Donovan. Most requested song tonight. Sunshine, Superman. Quick voice, there's a I guess I was born to be in radio. I don't know. I don't know if it was particularly WXYZ. You know, a lot of guys come out of the service, they have tattoos on them. You know, a mother with a heart on it, right? On my chest, I got written all over it.
Personality, personality. That's the sound of Whitsy.
Covers the whole thing.
Personality, personality. WXYZ. Personality plus.
Why don't you see what I got on the other hand?
In a box is as big as an ox and flies?
A flying ox box.
Oh, the Turtles from Wixie, the Groovy, our fast action request song for that one is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock with Joey. Joey, and tonight we're going to start a brand new exciting contest whereby one lucky Detroit guy or gal is going to win a trip to be with the Beatles. Can you imagine that? A trip to be with the Beatles. We're going to buy our listeners tonight on Wixie Radio. You're going to win a trip to be with the Beatles just if you listen to me. And if any of the rating services call you and ask you what station you're listening to, you tell them Beatle Radio WXYZ. Don't forget now. And then, if we happen to draw your name, you'll get to be with the Beatles. Yes, siree. John, Paul, George, and Ringo will definitely ignore you, too.
Hello.
How do I stop Grandpa from biting his nails?
Hide his teeth.
WXYZ in Detroit is 69 degrees right now. And for Herschel Electronics and their 5 locations, I must give a word tonight. You guys got automobiles? You got cars?
Huh? Yeah.
Do you? Yeah. Do you have stereo in your cars yet?
Got an Edsel.
No. No? And you're from L.A. and you're supposed to be hip, right?
San Francisco.
And you know, San Francisco. Why do I keep saying it? Well, stereophonic sound has come to Detroit, ladies and gentlemen, and you'll find it in most homes. And now, what? Will you let me finish my commercial? This is what pays for the other aggravation. Wait a minute now. Herschel Electronics has 5 locations throughout Detroit. They've done fairly well, but not as well as they should have. And consequently, I don't think any businessman feels he has done as well as he should have. As a matter of fact, that's probably why they're advertising. Well, to tell you the truth, they're not doing too well at Herschel Electronics. They try hard, and they've been in business for a long... You know, they really owe us money. I mean, they're into us. And you know, at Herschel Electronics, so they've got 5 locations they've built up, and they're not even paid for it. Well, frankly, friends, I mean, when my father first bought the business, he decided if I got on the air, it would be a good idea. You know, come on. So I come on for them, and here I am. And you gotta get it. You gotta help us. And the family's starving. We ain't doing so well, and I gotta take this job here on the side for the money that I get from the tips at the hops. You know, and I want you to come to Herschel Electronics and buy a stereo from us and put in your car, so you don't pay all the darn stupid bills we owe.
Let's check the thermometer. Check the barometer. What's the weather gonna be? WXYZ
69 in downtown Detroit.
Any place can be a soda fountain now with great shakes, new great shakes. Shake it up with milk and
my aunt used to weigh about 400 pounds. We go over to her house, she gave great shakes.
I'm hip, all 3 layers. You'll just love Chuck Berry. Well,
George Jones and Janie Frankie in concert with special guests Helen Cornelius and Ronnie Robbins. Coolers are welcome, but sorry, no glass containers will be allowed in at the concert.
Well, that's just about going to do it to it for yours truly, Rod Douglas, and the WTOD's portion of the Lucas County Fair. Some of the people are waving bye-bye. And congratulations to Tay Offit, once again, a mommy, this year's WTOD Lucas County Fair Queen. And also congratulations to Steve Klein of Wayne, Ohio, who won the trip for two to Gillies from WTOD and US Air. And thanks to everyone who entered the contest, stopped by the tent, said hello, and just made everything much more pleasant for us. We'll see you again next year. And so I guess I can speak for the whole crowd. Tom Lawrence, Larry Allen Wells, Bill Manders, Harvey J. Steele, Karen Sue Martinson, Hadley Smith, who's been one of our engineers back at the control site. And, of course, yours truly, Rod Douglas, saying see you next year.
WTOD is owned and operated by the Booth Broadcasting Company, a division of Booth American. WTOD operates on a federally assigned frequency of 1,560 kilohertz with a full power of 5,000 watts with studios and transmitter located at 3225 Arlington Avenue. We hope you've enjoyed today's music, news, and entertainment, and we hope you'll join us again tomorrow morning. So on behalf of the entire staff and management of WTOD, a very pleasant good evening.
Oh, say can you see?
I hope that brought back some memories of radio from the good old days. Remember, if you get sick of these old air checks and want to send in some radio air checks from your area, I'm Phil Wayne, and I'm at 7545 County Highway 71, Harpster, Ohio, 43323-9364. I and the DX Audio Service membership would be grateful for your help. And now, here are the musings from the members.
8, WLS, Category 20. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors.
This is John Wesley Smith in Hallsville, Missouri, and a great December issue, as always. And before I forget, happy 2014 to everyone. It was interesting hearing Mark Durenberger's Canadian band Scan, because that helped me to identify a few of the Canadians that I have heard here from time to time that don't come in regularly. It's been fun rarely hearing the Vancouver station on 11:30 come in. As far as Mike Lance's comments about the EAS tones, it is annoying when there's no announcement at all saying this is the weekly test or this is the monthly test or whatever. Many times I've heard only the tones and that's it, you know, so it is rather disruptive.
This is Tim Hendel with an answer to the trivia question on the DX Audio Service. Three-letter call on 1310 in Dallas was WRR, which I believe still exists on FM as a classical format, was a municipally owned station like WNYC in New York, I believe. WRR in Dallas, and I sure hate to see those traditional calls disappear.
Somebody, I think it was Mike, wanted to know how you tell which side of a CD is up. If you place your finger on the hole of the CD and then move out about half an inch, you will find a raised circle. That raised line that you can feel goes down on the CD player. The final article in the December DX Audio Service was a wonderful article complaining about a guy who talks too much on what is supposed to be a classic rock station. I thought this was a wonderful article, and I'd like to add my endorsement. Shut up, DJs. Any of you who can DX WSM in Nashville between 6 and 9 a.m., well, they're supposed to be classic country, but they have these people in the morning, Bill Cody and now a couple of others, and they yak, and they blabber, and they prattle, and they talk, and they giggle, and they talk over the top of each other. And I just want to say, play some music, give us the weather, give us the news. I do not object to the commercials. After all, the stations have to have commercials, but cut the other stuff. Also, here in the South, there's a morning duo called Rick and Bubba. I think they originate in Atlanta. And their show's on a lot of what we might call classic rock stations. And they blabber on. They were supposed to be comedy, I think. But now it's their Southern blend of conservative Christianity and conservative politics, which they managed to mix in with their other nonsense. I feel like telling Rick and Bubba, shut up and play some music. There are talk stations. There are religious stations. There are all news stations. These are places where a listener can go if he wants to hear politics, religion, or news. So stop the blabbering and prattling on our music stations. If you're going to talk, talk about the music, talk about the artist. Play some songs, for heaven's sakes.
Hi, this is Mike Lance in Aventura, Florida. I have a few comments. I've read the book, Something in the Air, by Mark Fisher. It traces the roots of Top 40 radio, and it's a great book. Number two, I cannot pick up KMOX because we have a TIS radio station that gives a history about the town of Sunny Isles Beach, Florida, which is part of Miami-Dade County. It also gives a history of Sunny Isles Beach. I like the radio station very, very much. Number three, I have heard radio stations actually say that they were going off the air for a pattern change. In fact, at one time, we had a disc jockey in Miami who was on WIOD 6:10 in the morning by the name of Mike Ranieri, what he would do is he would have somebody call up and make a sound before the pattern change began, and he would talk about the pattern change on the air and have the people actually do something before the pattern change came on the air. But I have heard that, and that was really fun to listen to in the morning. It was great entertainment, believe it or not. Let me take this time to wish everybody who is with the DX Audio Service a very happy and healthy holiday season, and may 2014 be a great year for all of us. Thank you very much, and I've always enjoyed the DX Audio Service. Keep up the great work.
This is John Wesley Smith from Hallsville, Missouri. I was over in the St. Louis area on Friday, December 6th. Seems like there are three stations in particular that change formats fairly frequently. Well, one of them has stayed the same since last summer when I was in that area. 1380 is still doing its women's programming. But 920 is now doing CBS Sports, although they were doing some local programming in the middle part of the day when I was there. And 1490 is now doing Fox Sports. And one of my favorite St. Louis personalities, J.C. Corcoran, bounces around from station to station every now and then, and he has ended up on 590, which generally does sports, but J.C. does a little bit of everything.
Hello, Audio Service members. Mike Dukin calling from Hayward, Wisconsin. And here's hoping that by the time that we all receive this in January, that everybody had a Merry Christmas and a happy, most prosperous New Year. I have a couple of format flips to pass along to you from the state of Wisconsin. First of all, I'd like to mention that last week was when I discovered this. WHIT from Madison, Wisconsin on 1550 switched, and they were running Cumulus's True Oldies channel, and I discovered this last week around December the 5th. They are now running a classic country format. They call themselves, I think it's Country Legends Hank 1550. I think that our friends in Madison can tell us more about when that happened. And also, WRPN from Ripon, Wisconsin, in the east central part of the state, they were running a talk format for years. And part of that was rebroadcasting the 5 o'clock news from Channel 5 in Green Bay. Well, now they're running a classic hits format and from Cumulus, and they're calling themselves Classic Hits AM 1600. So that's all the news I have to pass along this time around. So until next time, I'll just simply say 73s and good DX.
Well, hello and happy new year, everyone. From Richmond, Virginia, this is Joe Schwab here on December the 15th. So glad to be getting the magazine again, and I've got a few items for you. First of all, Cox Radio has sold its FM cluster of four stations here in Richmond to something called Summit Media, which is based in Birmingham, Alabama. Wonder if anybody is familiar with Summit Media. I don't know if this affects their other stations. I called the WOKV business line in Jacksonville, and they said they were still Cox. So anyway, if anybody has any more information about that, I'd appreciate it. Secondly of all, 970 in Florence, South Carolina is simulcasting with an FM, and it is playing a hip-hop format. It refers to itself as Swagger Radio. I'm wondering if WJMX on 1400 has taken the talk format over there along with the call letters. Now, there's a couple of other interesting things. First of all, regarding the Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity situation, I was listening to a Legal ID out of 710 WOR in New York, and they were saying that they were going to have both Sean and Rush starting January 1st on the new 710 WOR. And finally, Dennis Miller is going to switch syndication companies from Westwood One to Cumulus starting January 6th. He'll be doing his show live from noon to 3. So that's it for now from Richmond, Virginia. 73s, happy new year, everyone.
This is Russell Curry in Eugene, Oregon. I'm wondering about something that happened back in the early 90s, I think 91. And this was early summer, about 11 a.m. into early afternoon, and I turned on the radio, and I found some of the more powerful stations in California and Nevada were coming in. KFI, KMBR, KDON in Las Vegas, KNZR Bakersfield, and some others. And I would say the range probably was maybe 400 to 800 miles away from me. Not nearly as strong as at night, but still solid copy on a good portable. And I know in winter you might pick up just about anything right in the middle of the day, but I don't know what would cause something like that in the summertime, about as far from sunrise or sunset as you could get. So my question would be, what might have caused this, and how often does a phenomenon like this happen? Also, that band scan in the last issue, the station on 1040 there, I do think that was Vancouver. It is sports still. The source I checked actually would seem to indicate that it had to have been the day pattern, because the night pattern puts almost no signal to the east, not even as much as it gets down here, which is not much. Happy New Year, everyone.
And that's our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And if you'd like to muse, give us a call at area code 419-741-0205. That's for DX Audio Service members. Keep it brief and to the point so everyone has a chance to speak, and that way we also don't have to edit you as much. Now, to answer Rusty's question, what you're describing is a classic auroral event. When the aurora kicks up, a lot of times what you get is attenuation of stations to the north and enhancement of stations to the south. And I believe this was the exact time that you had your experience, but back in the early 90s, I remember coming out of the TV station, turning on the truck radio, and dialing around, I noticed WJR and CKLW, which are about 200 or so miles north of me, were somewhat attenuated, as if they're running lower power. However, as I dialed around, I found WSB out of Atlanta, WSM out of Nashville, which is about 600 miles south of me, even WWL, WCFL out of Chicago, and WLS were almost armchair copies. So what you're describing is an auroral event, and boy, I'll tell you, I wish we had more of those, as well as being able to predict when they might just happen. That's our musings to the members. Let's move on to news.
John Gambling announces retirement from WOR, ending the longest radio dynasty in U.S. history. The New York radio mainstay will step down after his December 20th broadcast, ending the Gambling family's historic 88-year run. The story written by David Hinckley in the New York Daily News, November 11th, 2013. After 88 years, Gambling will ramble no more. The longest-running family dynasty in radio history ends December 20th when John R. Gambling does his final morning show for WOR 710. The 63-year-old Gambling is retiring by my own choice, he told listeners Monday morning. I have done and accomplished so much, he said. My radio career has given me the privilege to entertain and inform millions of New Yorkers. To say it's been exciting doesn't come close to the joy I've had. Gambling's departure, a decision he made some weeks ago, wraps up a near continuum that began in 1925 when his grandfather, John B. Gambling, launched one of the first morning shows in the fledgling medium of radio. That show included, among other things, an exercise segment. When you think about it, it's just amazing, says Michael Harrison, editor of the trade magazine Talkers. Morning radio is a job that's hard for anyone to hold on to, and here three generations of one family have kept that important a position for all those years on a major New York station. The Gambling name is part of New York radio culture. We'll never see anything like it again. Gambling has often hinted over the years that when his three sons were finished with college, he'd like to take more time to enjoy life. He and his wife Wendy are avid boaters, both on Long Island and in Florida. John B. Gambling, who named the morning show Rambling with Gambling, turned it over to his son John A. Gambling in 1959. John R. Gambling served his radio apprenticeship at several other stations beginning in 1973 before becoming a co-host with his father on WOR in the late 1980s. John R. hosted the WOR show from 1991 to 2000 when he left for Crosstown WABC. He returned to WOR in 2008 and has hosted the morning show since. In keeping with WOR's image, John R. was lower key than many contemporary radio hosts. "That's not me," he said of some of his more flamboyant colleagues, "but I have opinions." He began expressing those opinions more sharply when he went to WABC and kept doing so when he returned to WOR in 2008. Still, he remained known for his interviews with a range of guests, many of whom held different views. "I loved my exchanges with John," said leftist attorney Ron Kuby, a guest in recent years, "and I'm pretty sure he did too." One of Gambling's best-known segments was his weekly live on-air interviews with New York mayors, all of whom said they found him a fair-minded questioner. Gambling has three sons, twins Andrew and Bradley, 27, and William, 23. While all three have been heard on WOR over the years, Gambling said years ago that they were not inclined to follow the family radio hosting tradition. "I think they appreciate what the family has done," he said, "but they have their own dreams, and that's fine." WOR President Joe Pugliese said in a statement that the station is looking for a new morning show and he expects an announcement soon. Radio stations traditionally give regular hosts the holiday weeks off, so any new host would likely start in the new year. A big question for New York radio fans is whether that new host will be local or syndicated. WOR has gradually been phasing out some of its local hosts as it prepares for the January arrival of Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity as its new afternoon lineup.
You know what? I'm not sure what to do for the end. I've thought about it, and I don't really know. First and foremost, Joe, I have adored beating the living you-know-whats out of you.
And I enjoyed the battles, John. Your class, the whole, you know, right to the end here.
There was... never any animosity, even when things got a little louder than normal, but because I respect Joe completely. We've had a great run together. And JJ, what can I say?
Well, I just want to say thank you.
Good luck to you. And with that, my stack of stuff.
You're throwing it away?
In the garbage.
Oh, man. Wow, what a relief, huh?
35 years of notes and being and having my security blanket of a story just in case that moment comes when you don't have anything to say, which is the nightmare of all nightmare. Wendy?
Are you sure?
I am sure. And I want you and me to do just what Roy and Dale did at the end of every show. Thank you, everybody.
This has been John Gambling Announces Retirement from WOR by David Hinckley in the New York Daily News, November 11th, 2013. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service.
This article is titled FCC Withdraws Proposal to Relax Media Ownership Rules. It was published December 17th, 2013 by Fox News. The U.S. Federal Communications Commission has withdrawn a proposal to relax the ban on owning several media outlets in the same media market, an FCC official said on Tuesday. For decades, U.S. media markets have operated under rules that prohibit one owner from controlling both a newspaper and a television station or radio station in a single market. More than a year ago, the previous chairman, Julius Genachowski, circulated a proposal that would have eliminated those restrictions. The current chairman, Tom Wheeler, took Genachowski's proposal off circulation on December 6, an FCC official said, adding that the agency would soon follow up with further actions on that matter. Congress requires the Federal Communications Commission to reassess its media ownership rules every 4 years to make sure that they are in the public interest. That means the ongoing 2010 quadrennial review is now butting into the new 2014 one. Wheeler has been expecting to close the current proceeding or merge it with a new one in his own terms. Many FCC staff and industry insiders have said that they have given up on any major changes coming in the ongoing 2010 review. The details of Jenikowski's proposal were never made fully public. And according to sources familiar with the proceeding, Jenikowski left the Federal Communications Commission without even casting his own vote on the proposal after failing to corral the unanimous support of the other two Democratic commissioners. The matter has become a hot and sensitive topic. Those who favor relaxed rules argue that they are necessary to let big media companies with TV-driven profits invest in and revitalize the struggling newspaper industry. Those who support current or tighter rules say that without restrictions, corporations might marginalize women and minorities. Both the broadcasting and the ailing newspaper industry have been urging a relaxation of the rules in hoping of spurring investment. Several previous chairmen have made such proposals, but the court told the Federal Communications Commission it did not properly study the impact of the rules on the diversity of viewpoints and diversity of media owners. The United States media marketplace, in the meantime, has relied on the waivers the FCC has issued in some of the biggest markets, allowing consolidation to continue among newspapers and broadcast companies. This year, Los Angeles Times and Chicago Tribune publisher Tribune Corp. announced plans to buy 19 television stations, and the largest newspaper chain, Gannett Incorporated, announced a deal to buy Belo Corporation and its 20 local TV stations. The FCC in February delayed its vote on the Jenikowski proposal to wait for an outside study that looked how female and minority broadcasters were affected by cross-ownership. In May, the study from the Minority Media and Telecommunications Council found that female and minority broadcasters did not appear concerned about one owner controlling newspapers, radio, and television stations all in the same market. But the study faced an outcry from public interest groups, and the review of FCC rules was paused as Jenikowski left. And that story was titled, FCC Withdraws Proposal to Relax Media Ownership Rules, from Fox News.
Why No HD Radios for Home Use, by Roger Shooter. This article appeared in the News Democrat newspaper on December 13, 2013. While we have some truly fine HD radio stations in St. Louis, like the reborn KFUO, RAF STL at KHTS 96.3. Why does no outlet seem to sell HD radios for home use? Can you help? Signed, SP of Belleville. Not much. In fact, I'm beginning to feel more and more like an electronic dinosaur myself. See, I'm just not an iPod kind of guy, so this week I went looking for a new portable CD player to replace my old Sony that had died. Two clerks looked at me as if I had been asking for an 8-track tape deck. I finally wound up with the cheesy plastic model, with an FM radio that didn't even display the frequency of stations, which I found to my surprise when I opened it. It's going back post-haste. Of course, you would think that with the growing number of high-def FM stations, reasonably inexpensive tabletop radios would be as easily found as the newfangled AM/FM radio my mom finally broke down and bought in the 60s. Not so. Even www.hdradio.com lists only two models suitable to your needs, both available at Best Buy or BestBuy.com. The one that gets the best reviews is the Insignia NS-HDRAD, currently on sale for $39.99 with free shipping. There's also an Insignia Boombox for $79.99. Of course, if you have money to burn, you can buy the Denon AVP-A1HDCI for only $7,500. A Radio Shack clerk referred me to Best Buy, and H.H. Gregg knew what I was talking about, but doesn't handle them. Why? Best guess is that with everyone streaming everything through computers, tablets, and other media, such radios seem to be getting as popular as a Sony Betamax. This article was titled, Why No HD Radios for Home Use? By Roger Shooter. It appeared in the News Democrat newspaper on December 13, 2013.
Signals to Digital has been delayed to 2015 by Jonathan Margolis of the UK Daily Mail. The future has been postponed, and thank goodness. The announcement by Communications Minister Ed Vasey this week that the long-threatened switch from FM radio to digital signals will be delayed must come as a great relief to millions, from a Gaelic crofter in the Western Isles to the Queen at Windsor Castle. The decision to keep the analog radio transmitters working beyond 2015 is a last-minute reprieve for a service that many in Britain hold in deeper affection even than television. We love our AM/FM receivers. They deliver a wealth of programs. They drive away loneliness. And, above all, they work very well. And as many have found, to their expense and chagrin, the same cannot be said of digital audio broadcasting, DAB, sets. For all the puffery we hear every day from BBC announcers, and a multi-million pound advertising campaign, which in the past 2 years alone cost £10 million, and featured a puppet soul singer called D. Love, the ineluctable truth is that DAB broadcasts are inferior in several ways to the technology we already possess. Broadcasters are keen on digital because it is a way of using the available radio spectrum more efficiently, allowing many more stations to be squeezed onto the radio dial. It also spells an end to pirate stations hijacking frequencies in cities. However, to its opponents, DAB stands for Disappointing Audio Broadcasts. Crucially, the signal is not as strong. It's a bit like the reception you get on a mobile phone. In a room with thick stone walls, for instance, such as in a royal castle, it will be blocked. The Queen was said to be peeved in 2010 when DAB sets were installed and she could no longer pick up Radio 4. For those in slightly less grand surroundings, the same problem can be caused by the metallized plaster commonly used in pre-war suburban houses. The metal acts as a so-called Faraday cage, an electrical phenomenon which blocks the ultra-high frequency radio signals DAB uses. And as with mobile phones, reception is patchy to non-existent in most remote areas. A map of DAB coverage reveals alarming blank spots even in the most populated areas. For example, in the commuter belt of Surrey and West Kent, signals are poor. They are worse still outside Brighton and Southampton. In Buxton, in Derbyshire, Plymouth in Devon, Middlesbrough on Teesside, and in suburbs south of Manchester, among many other places, listeners despair of getting clear reception. For the Welsh and the Scots, digital is mainly a washout. Mile after mile in Snowdonia and the Cairngorms receive no signal at all. And if you're going to the Hebrides, the Isle of Man, the Orkneys, Shetlands, or Paul McCartney's beloved Mull of Kintyre, leave your DAB set at home. Analog radio waves, on the other hand, are virtually unstoppable. You can pick them up just about anywhere, not just on every street in Britain, but on rain-swept mountainsides, in thick-walled Victorian prison cells, and out at sea. And while you may never expect to be a hill shepherd, an old lag, or a deep-sea fisherman, to switch off this service seems perverse. In any case, trying to get a good signal on a digital radio out of your house and on the move is still a hit-or-miss affair. Most of us listen to radio in the car, and a consistent signal is essential. But that is not guaranteed with DAB. What's more, it costs up to £100 to get your car converted to DAB radio. Ed Vasey claims that 35.6% of all radio listening is now done via digital. But he is twisting the truth. The fact is that much of the audience for digital services is not listening on radio at all. They're tuning in through the internet. The real figure for DAB usage is more like 20%, partly because there are so many disappointed converts. In fact, an awful lot of us have splashed out on a digital radio, spending between £50 to £300, only to realize that we were better off with our old AM/FM receivers, or listening through the computer. But the way the digital information is compressed into files of sound for broadcast also affects quality. High and low frequencies of sound are lost in this compression process, and subtle harmonics obliterated. The result is that many digital stations are broadcasting at low-quality sound levels. If that's the future, it's an annoying backward step for music lovers. Understandably, manufacturers remain keen for the switchover to go ahead. They want us to be goaded into buying expensive new digital radios, even though we have analog radios with better sound quality. It's a familiar story with other supposed technological breakthroughs, but at least they usually give technical advantages. DAB radio, though, offers little more than fiddly controls and a display that looks like a ticker tape. If our traditional analog transmitters become redundant, 150 million old-style sets will be rendered worthless junk. Many of these have delivered loyal service for a generation or longer, family friends that have literally supplied the soundtrack to our lives. We're justly sentimental about them. But the best that can be hoped is that overseas charities could collect them for distribution in developing countries. There's a bitter humor in the thought that, thanks to this policy, a man in a corrugated shack in the favelas of Brazil or a South African township could get better BBC World Service reception than we will in our cars. The government minister responsible, Ed Vasey, is eager to be seen to be helpful, the man who listens to listeners. However, his announcement to delay the switchover has unfortunately served only to confuse people even more about digital technology. Quote, "I absolutely believe that the future of radio in this country is digital," Vasey says. Quote, "We are not there yet, so now is not the time to switch over." This shambles is not his fault, however. The blame lies squarely with the last Labor government, and in particular, with former Financial Secretary to the Treasury, Stephen Timms. He was responsible for the 2009 Digital Britain Report, which was heavily based on a document produced 2 years earlier by the left-leaning Work Foundation. Timms had been chosen because of his background in telecommunications, a career which ended when he became an MP. Despite the fact that his expertise was more than a decade out of date, he was considered the ideal person candidate to oversee the switch. And the man who appointed him? The then business secretary, Peter Mandelson. Despite this labor-led fiasco, which the coalition government could easily disown, Ed Vasey has promised another £21 million investment in digital radio from the BBC, commercial stations, and the taxpayer. All for an unreliable system that we don't need or want. I'm Steve McCoy for the DX Audio Service.
Good news mostly on the Casey Kasem family front. An ugly family dispute between Casey Kasem's children and their stepmom over access to their ailing father appears to be largely over, says People magazine. But call it just two-thirds over, since his daughter Carrie isn't comfortable with the terms of a confidential agreement based on the amount of visitation that would be allowed with her 81-year-old father. Carrie, now a radio host herself on Clear Channel's Sixth Sense with Nikki Six, says she might go back to court with a further try for conservatorship related to his health issues. Casey Kasem is in the later stages of Parkinson's disease and is currently in the hospital. Carrie, her siblings Julie and Mike, from Casey's first marriage, and some friends staged a protest outside his home, hoping to budge the position of current wife Jean Kasem. The adult children lost some rounds in court in a bid for conservatorship, but People says Julie is now asking the court to let her withdraw that bid as part of a confidential visitation agreement. As the October story in Now magazine stated, Julie, Mike, and Carrie know that they're not in Casey Kasem's will. All they want is just to spend some time with him for now. Fred Volby in the DX Audio Service Newsroom.
Researchers use popular music to help severely brain-injured patients recall personal memories. Published on December 10, 2013, from www.news-medical.net. In the first study of its kind, two researchers have used popular music to help severely brain-injured patients recall personal memories. Amy Baird and Severin Sampson outline the results and conclusions of their pioneering research in the recent issue of the journal Neuropsychological Rehabilitation. Although their study covered a small number of cases, it's the very first to examine music-evoked autobiographical memories, MEAMs, in patients with acquired brain injuries, ABIs, rather than those who are healthy or suffer from Alzheimer's disease. In their study, Baird and Sampson played extracts from Billboard Hot 100 number one songs in random order to five patients. The songs, taken from the whole of the patient's lifespan from age five, were also played to five control subjects with no brain injury. All were asked to record how familiar they were with the given song, whether they liked it, and what memories it evoked. Doctors Baird and Sampson found that the frequency of recorded MEAMs was similar for patients, 38% to 71%, and controls, 48% to 71%. Only one of the four ABI patients recorded no MEAMs. In fact, the highest number of MEAMs in the whole group was recorded by one of the ABI patients. In all those studied, the majority of MEAMs were of a person, people, or a life period and were typically positive. Songs that evoked a memory were noted as more familiar and more liked than those that did not. As a potential tool for helping patients regain their memories, Baird and Sampson conclude that music was more efficient at evoking autobiographical memories than verbal prompts of the Autobiographical Memory Interview, AMI, across each life period, with a higher percentage of MEAMs for each life period compared with AMI scores. The findings suggest that music is an effective stimulus for eliciting autobiographical memories and may be beneficial in the rehabilitation of autobiographical amnesia, but only in patients without a fundamental deficit in autobiographical recall memory and intact pitch perception. The authors hope that their groundbreaking work will encourage others to carry out further studies on MEAMs in larger ABI populations. They also call for further studies of both healthy people and those with other neurological conditions to learn more about the clear relationship between memory, music, and emotion. They hope that one day we might truly understand the mechanisms underlying the unique memory-enhancing effect of music. In Lexington, Kentucky, this is Chris Gay for the DX Audio Service.
And finally, how well does a little station get out? I had the opportunity to speak with Mark Gearhart, who is the chief engineer for WCIT here in Lima, Ohio. The station runs a two-tower directional pattern at only 250 watts. The pattern goes to the northwest and to the southeast, kind of a figure eight. It obviously had to protect Montreal at one time, as well as Mexico, and a few other radio stations on adjacent channels. Mark was gracious enough to set up a DX test for us, and it was quickly set up, unfortunately without any notice to DX Audio Service members, for December 16th from 0200 to 0300. The DX test consisted of march music and tones and Morse code and other information which a DXer might find easy to pick out of the noise. So where was this 250-watt radio station heard? Here's the list. Bowie, Maryland. Macomb, Illinois. Hampton Cove, Alabama. Rossville, Tennessee. Mayan, Alabama. Burnt River, Ontario. Enid, Oklahoma. Nashua, New Hampshire. Winnipeg, Manitoba. London, Ontario. Toronto, Ontario. Joliet, Illinois. Muskegon, Michigan. Holly, New York. Reston, Virginia. Alcoa, Tennessee. Monroe, New York. And Omaha, Nebraska. The furthest catch being the one out of Winnipeg, Manitoba. How did the test sound? Well, here's an example.
This is WCIT, Lima, Ohio. Conducting equipment tests. WCIT, Lima, Ohio. This DX test is being conducted for members of the National Radio Club. Send reception reports to the address in the NRC's AM radio log. This is WCIT, Lima, Ohio. Conducting equipment tests. WCIT, Lima, Ohio. WCIT, Lima, Ohio, conducting equipment tests.
And that's the WCIT test from December of this year. You know, I'd be interested to know if any DX Audio Service members are interested in listening for DX tests, or if it's simply become passé. Why not drop me a card or a letter, or just a comment on the Musings line? We'd love to hear from you.
It's wonderful. Summer radio on WIL in St. Louis.
And then is our first DX Audio Service for 2014. In closing, I'd just like to make one wish for 2014, and that is for you, a member of the DX Audio Service, to become involved with the club and help us spread the word about the magazine. We've had a lot of members drop out simply because of finances, as well as we've had a large number of people pass away this year. So membership is going a little bit on the negative side. And before we get to a point where we just say, hey, let's call it quits, I'd like to get the membership back up. So please spread the word about the DX Audio Service in other magazines, as well as to your friends, and let them know about what we do here at the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. That's it. That's all. There is no more. We'll see you in 30 days in February with more DX stuff. Get out there and support radio.
Hit after hit after hit. Hit music.